Let's turn in our Bibles now to the book of Haggai and chapter 2. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Haggai chapter 2, starting in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. On the 21st of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once more in a little while I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also, and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. On the 24th, of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests for a ruling. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answered, No. Then Haggai said, If one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priest answered, It will become unclean. Then Haggai said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. But now do consider, from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would be only 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would be only 20. I smote you in every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. Do consider from this onward, this day onward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and destroy the power of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders will go down, every one by the sword of another. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. So there are, in this final chapter of Haggai, three sermons that are preached by the prophet of the Lord to the people for the encouragement of those who are building the temple. Remember, they had built their houses in chapter 1 after coming out of the Babylonian exile. They had come back, they had built their houses, they make nice houses, and yet they had not built the temple of God. They had not started the process yet. And so God rebuked them, and they answered And they started to build the temple. And that's where we come in the second chapter. And so there's three sermons. The first is in verses 1 through 9. And he exhorts and assures them that the glory of this new temple that they were building might not be outwardly as glorious. It wouldn't be outwardly as great. It would not exceed the previous temple of Solomon's that was destroyed. But it would in glory exceed in spiritual aspects. It would exceed in spiritual aspects. And because as we'll learn this evening in Daniel, there would be a greater eye toward the coming of Jesus Christ. And so those sacrifices being offered and people remembering that because of the promises in Daniel, that Christ would be coming soon. And the second sermon, through verse 19, he assures them that though they sinned in delaying building the temple and not seeing much prosperity due to their sin, actually cursing, as it says in the passage, now being earnest in building the temple, they would be blessed and have success, and they would see prosperity come about. And then in the final verses, verses 20 to 23, he assures Zerubbabel that he would be rewarded for his piety and zeal and his being governor and his leading the people in building the temple. And much like Daniel speaks about Christ, the mediatorial king, as he who would reconcile us to himself, he would overthrow all other thrones and all other kingdoms, and their authority and power would be taken away. And Christ, having an eternal kingdom and eternal dominion, will bring Zerubbabel in, and he will have a special place in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so he would make him like a signet, having a special place. And he, in that line, that the physical line of descendants that would lead to the birth of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for these three sermons that remind us of how we have turned from you often and sinned against you, and we have not worshipped and done what we have and ought to be doing. We're focused on perhaps one thing too much and making things of our home life much better than our worship life here on this day. And so perhaps we have failed in family worship and private worship and in preparation for worship on the Lord's Day and corporate worship. And so, Father, forgive us for failing in these ways. Now, Father, we're thankful that today there is no physical temple in which we have to go to Jerusalem to worship you, but rather you have made it all the more spiritual, that wherever we gather, the Spirit is there in our midst. And no matter how few of us, if we gather together, you are with us. And you bring us by your Spirit before your very throne in glory spiritually. And Father, we praise you that this is much greater than even what those in Solomon's day or those in Haggai's day ever experienced. Because now those mysteries that were pointing forward to Christ have been made very clear that they are fulfilled in Christ and abrogated in Christ. Father, we're thankful that those sacrifices pointed to something greater, and that is your Son. And that he already has come. And he's already lived a perfect righteous life. He's already died a perfect righteous death for our sins, to give us eternal life to all those who would believe in faith the gospel. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless us in granting to us your grace and faith to believe unto salvation. Even our children, we pray for them, that you would do so today, if that be your will. And Father, we're thankful that you've given us your Son, who is King over all, who's king over not only the church, but all kingdoms and dominions on this earth, and that we have no need to fear man or rulers or kingdoms. But Father, we come submitting to your Son, who has been given all authority, has been given all power and strength over all dominions and kingdoms, and will bring them to nothing. Even he has been doing for thousands of years. He raises kingdoms up of the earth and brings them down. That your name and your power would be exalted, and that you would bring even us sinners to bow before your throne. And Father, as Christ is head over the church and head over all, Father, we ask that you would heal our bodies. We pray that you would heal our souls. We pray also that you would heal our bodies. We pray especially for those who may be sick today and struggling in their bodies. Father, strengthen us as only you can do. For we know that our life, our breath, the flowing of our blood, and all the means of our brain working, and everything, Father, even our nerves, are all dependent upon you and Christ, who is King over all, even our bodies. And so, Father, strengthen and heal our bodies, that we may serve you well, that we would be those who are godly witnesses of the gospel to many that we come in contact with. And Father, we ask that you would heal our souls, you would cleanse us of our sin and sanctify us, that we would no longer be those building up so much our worldly lives, but that we would build up the body of Christ, the family of God. That you would do so through your word and by your instruments. Each one of us, and especially elders and deacons, as you have ordained us for such work. Father, we ask these things as we continue in worship now. We ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.